Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda. It is another beautiful 72 degrees, sunny, gorgeous day. And welcome, Bill, Ron, and Mikey. Mike from Hot Seat. We got Bill from Hoot and Holler and Ron from Constitution Hour. Welcome. And everyone else that's listening, Higher Truth Radio here in Dallas. Yes, that's from Mikey B. And I just wanted to let everybody know that I said I was going to post items in the Patriot Families Room, and they are up and ready to look at from yesterday's situation, and I got a whole bunch of news on that. So it's going to be a lot of conversation on illegal immigration and the flooding of the borders and the lawlessness of this administration. I mean, just huge stuff going on. Before I do that, just remember that we are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com, PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. Go to the site now and look under forum, under photos, and I got all the, I think there's seven of them, and shows you the local news guys that were there, the size of the room, the amount of, it was just amazing. So while you're listening to me rant about this, you can look at the pictures if you can get into PatriotFamilies.com. So before I get started on all this stuff that I dealt with yesterday and what's going on in the world, I'm going to go through some inspirational promises. And one is, this is on about hope, and this is from our number one book, the Bible. And this is Romans 8, 31 through 33. If God is with us, no one can defeat us. He did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. The next one is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. I say to myself, the Lord is mine, so I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to those who seek him. Those are wonderful lessons for today, that we should go through our scriptures and be thankful for the loving God in Jesus Christ. So, amen, and love to see everybody here. And I know that others are trying to sign in. Blog Talk can be a pain. Just a rehash. I'm going to read a couple articles that are really, really pertinent to what we're talking about today. On Bill's show yesterday, I had explained that I was on my way out the door, and I gave myself plenty of time to grab a bite to eat, make sure the traffic was not too bad, to get over to Escondido. This come to find out that none of us would have known about this if a gentleman who lives in Escondido was not doing a morning walk with his wife, going past this facility and looking at the notifications. They always put notifications, I guess, by law. They have to use permit. Everything was downplayed. They were trying so hard to slip this through the planning commission in Escondido and then get it to the city council in Escondido without anybody having any input in the public not knowing about this. This is how evil this nonsense is. This all came from DHS, and they partnered with this group, and I'll read about it in a minute. There's a lot of long articles, but I want to give you a rundown of what went down. And so as soon as a couple neighbors of these guys got wind of this, they called the Mike Slater show and let Mike know what was going on. Everybody, this gentleman, first of all, did all his research to find out what was going on. They're doing stuff in the chat. I shouldn't look at it. Okay, so he researched it and found out what this was, that it was definitely a detention center, and it was going to have 96 kids in it, and they were all being bused in from Mexico and Arizona with the DHS involved, of course, with the evil administration involved, and they wanted to make sure the public, this got stealthily passed by the Planning Commission and the City Council without anybody else knowing about it. That didn't happen. So he did. They did the research. They found out what this was. They contacted Mike Slater, and Mike, I'm telling you, for at least 2 or 3 days running, was talking about this Planning Commission meeting, which was yesterday. The meeting started at 7 o'clock in the evening. It didn't get finished until 10:30 at night. Do you want to know why? Let me tell you. Don't tell me we can't make a difference. There was over 300 people. The fire marshal was there. The security guys were there. They called in the Escondido Police Department because they knew things were going to get crazy. I'm not kidding. If you guys can go look at the pictures on Patriot Family's site under forum, under videos, or under photos, the first thing I saw when I drove up was tons of news media, Channel 8, Channel 10, Fox 5. I mean, it was like they were in the front of the building, in the back of the building. It was amazing. People were pouring in. There, like I said, there was standing room only. Some people were forced to stand outside and peer through the windows. They couldn't even hear because there was no speakers out there. I was in an anteroom. I got there in plenty of time, but I was in the anteroom or the overflow room, and I was kind of almost to the back. It was very difficult, but I got some good shots. I got a good shot of the media that was way on the other side of the rotunda. They didn't see this coming, let me tell you. And the worst part about this, there was over 100 speakers, and I spoke on, you know, those little, they give you a piece of paper. You sign in if you want to speak on an agenda item, and there were only 2 agenda items. So the actual presentation of this particular agenda item, which was the second one, started at 7:30. And I'm telling you, it was just, people were, I mean, 9 out of 10 people in that room were against this situation for whatever, you know, their political reasons were, or if they were not in my backyard people or whatever reasons, you know, zoning, parking, a myriad of things. But the majority of us were totally ticked off with this illegal alien invasion of this country. And I will give you a synopsis of what I said, if I can't even do it word for word. So come to find out, which we made the headlines this morning on the front page of the UT. So because this, they took the vote. I left at 9:30 because I was getting tired, and this thing went another hour. But at 10 o'clock, I was home. I looked at Channel 5 on the local Fox 5. They were reporting that the people were still speaking because there was over 100 speakers, and I was actually speaking around 9:15, and we got a 7-0 vote on that Planning Commission against this, and if we hadn't shown up like we did, they would have slammed this through against the citizens of Escondido, let me tell you. So anyway, it was like absolutely an amazing evening. I think one of the reasons that just in case they had, I'm glad they called the police in, because there was a disruption, because I was sitting there and we were getting close to hearing the names of the next 3 speakers. They would call you up 3 at a time, right? And you kind of get in the queue and then you go and speak. And we only got 1 minute each, believe me, because there were that many speakers. If they had given us 2 minutes plus or whatever, we'd have been there till midnight. So that's the reason they did it. And I totally get that. The only thing I was objecting to, just because he was a planning commissioner and not a political person, that he was trying to confine our talking points to zoning laws, et cetera. And I thought that was horrible. So I just ignored him. I didn't care. but so before I got to speak, they bust in the La Raza kids, and there was about 10 of them, and they, and this, I think it was one of the councilwomen who's a complete libtard, and she was shuffling the papers of who's going to speak, and she got these people in there ahead of others, and this one person spoke, and then they all were starting to chant in Spanish, and they were doing their, you know, their typical Mecha nonsense. And I'm telling you, and they all, and so the people who were like the staff of the Escondido Chambers were escorting these people out, and the police were following close behind and making sure that they, and they were still chanting very loudly and disrupting the meeting. While that's going on, the people on the board, 7 people on the board, were shutting down the meeting for a recess to calm people down. And they filed right past me. I could have reached out and touched them. Of course, I didn't, but I did Each one of them, I looked at them in the eyes. They wouldn't contact eyes with anybody. They were just doing their nonsense. I called them communists as loud as I could. I didn't care. I was so ticked off. I thought, you. And I told everybody around me, and they agreed with me. I said, the bus is here. They just got in the La Raza commies. So that was kind of where we were. And then when we first started to speak, after the person had presented her case, and it's in this article, this key something, I'll see what the name of it is in a second. I was not impressed by them. I know there was two. God, I can't even find the stuff here. All of these guys, they were contracted. They were a nonprofit contracted by DHS. And let me see if I can get that thing. Anyway, it was called, hold up, I got too many articles.
This is crazy.
They have two articles on the surges because this has been going on for so long. And anyway, so this spokeswoman for the what they call the petitioner of this situation of the permit to do this, to change the use and do this and put 96 of these illegals. And I mean, I was kind of mentally taking notes. I didn't have my pen with me to write stuff down, but we only had a minute anyway. So she was calling them undocumented immigrants and undocumented minors. And I kept hearing this word immigrant throughout this whole diatribe. And oh yeah, I know who La Raza and Mecha are. They're out and out commies. They've got sickle and hammers on their stupid red stuff. So anyway, so I made note of this, and then she says, oh, well, we just want to eventually reunite these people with their families. And if I had had more time to think and think clearer, I would have said in my speech, well, if you want to reunite them with their families, you put them on a plane and send them back to Central America. And then I would have added and put a congressman under each arm, but I didn't have time to say it. So, I mean, I've had it with these people. I was just taking, like I said, mental notes, and they're trying to use the progressive emotion and play on the libtard emotion of people, and it didn't work in this room, let me tell you. So I will tell you that I probably got one of the highest, volume and decibels of applause and hoots and hollers after I finished speaking. I was really happy about that. It was kind of fun. So, and then good old quote, the main guy who was speaking, one of the commissioners, decided to admonish me after I left the podium and the microphone, and he was doing his little Stalin-esque speech saying, well, we should limit our comments to zoning. And so, yeah, like that was going to help. But let me tell you something. Everybody else after me who felt like talking about the political aspect did so because they just ignored him. So that's the kind of stuff we deal with here in Libtardia. But anyway, so here's what I said, and then I'll try to get through these articles that were coming to me fast and furiously, so many of them. It's just insane. So Mikey says limit to what they want to hear. Sure, like 2 + 2 = 5, you know, that kind of nonsense. That's the old Soviet. Okay, so I didn't say anything to him. I didn't, you know, call him out as being Uncle Joe. But anyway, so what I said was, I started my speech and I smiled and I said, good evening. I said, my name is Linda Sills, and I came from Oceanside. And I said, I wanted to address the petitioner that was speaking earlier, or the applicant, they call them as well. And I said, and she kept referring to these children as undocumented minors and immigrants. I says, first of all, they're not immigrants. They are illegal aliens invading this once sovereign country. And I could hear the accolades from behind me in the audience. And I said, we have no rule of law, we have no borders, we have no country. I said, we're certainly not serving the and instituting domestic tranquility. I went on to say, I said, we have all of these people flooding our country illegally, perpetrated by an administration that is lawless. And I said, this is not helping at all. I said, this, you know, we do have an immigration problem. We have all these problems. I says, but this is not the answer. And I said, now you are not only piling on a burden to the community, you're piling on unfunded liabilities, more national debt to the taxpayers. You're doing all of this. You can't even take care of what, which I'm telling you now, Ron, I was thanking you for your little ideas that I took and ran with them. And I said, you're piling all this on. I said, you can't even handle your own situations of the welfare state that we've got, this nanny state, and you can't even handle the VA. And I says, you want to do more of it? And I said, in my estimation, that's treason. And then I said, thank you, and got ready to leave. And I'm not kidding you. The kids exploded behind me. These people just went nuts. It was absolutely amazing. And I actually waved, looked at him, smiled, and blew him a kiss. I mean, I don't know what else to do. So it was kind of a fun night. But like I said, if you guys could see the pictures at patriotfamilies.com under forum and photos, I did post what I saw, and it was absolutely amazing. So I'm going to read some of the stuff here that's going on in the chat room. Mike says, and this is not good for the general welfare equals treason. Well, I would like to change that to general well-being, because the progressives have taken the word general welfare and thinking it's supposed to be a nanny state handout and put everybody in the wagon and let a couple people pull it. That's my humble opinion. And Bill says, the laws are still there. Giving aid or abetting the illegal entry into the U.S. is a crime. Enforce the law as it is written. Get it? Yes, Mikey, I agree. F all of them. Anyway, we won't go further than that. But I don't know if my chat room is empty because they couldn't get in, or because I put a lot of promo out there, but we'll see what happens. We still have 45 minutes. So I'm excited to have you guys here, and if you want to call in and weigh in on this. But while you're doing that, the first thing, this was from last Saturday, which was June 21st, and this was on my local paper. It says, new steps to curb border surge. Now, this is the subheading. It says, the Obama administration announced his plan to address influx of unaccompanied, this is where they get this from, unaccompanied minors entering from Mexico. That's where she pulled this statement from, I'll bet you. Unaccompanied minors. Yeah, undocumented immigrants. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can spin it any way you want. Anyway, this is from Washington and the Washington Compost. The Obama administration toughened its border policies Friday, hoping to stem a surge of women and children into the United States by sending a strong message that unauthorized migrants will be turned away. Yeah, right. The steps aimed at those entering from Mexico include adding more immigration judges to process a backlog of asylum claims and to more quickly deport adults whose cases are rejected. Half the stuff I can't believe, anything coming out of this administration. Going on, new detention facilities are also being opened for families awaiting hearings, and ankle monitoring bracelets will be used to keep tabs on them, which none of that was mentioned at this meeting at all. None of this ankle bracelet thing. The moves mark a recognition by the administration that the unexpected influx of tens of thousands of immigrant children has, they're not immigrants, I'm going to call them what they are, illegal alien children, has become a serious humanitarian and political crisis. It's not humanitarian. They have fomented this. So far this year, 52,000 unaccompanied minors and 39,000 adults with children have been apprehended along the Mexican border, a much higher number than normal. Yeah, it's orchestrated, all right. Okay, we have a guest. I hope it's Rod Luke or whomever, but welcome. Homeland Security Department Security Alejandro Mayorkas said the administration was actively looking for additional space to house immigrant families, primarily mothers with young children, caught crossing the Mexican border illegally. Now let me take a second with this. This is exactly what's going on in all these cities, including Murrieta and Escondido. DHS is actively looking for additional space. Well, they obviously, and they contracted with this key somebody. It's called Key Programs. Southwest Key Programs is the name of this nonprofit group. And those are the people speaking last night and presenting this. And then we got a chance to rebut. He did not say how many people the new facility detention centers would house or where they would be located. Oh, I'm sure they didn't. The government currently operates only one such facility in Berks County, PA, with space for fewer than 100 people. Well, that's not what I heard last night. The surge has become an unexpected flashpoint in Washington's immigration debate. Oh, my God. Can you believe these editorials? Making it even less likely that House Republicans will support comprehensive reform legislation this year. And like I said, if you guys want to weigh in on any of this stuff that's going on, you may. 646-378-0321. Administration officials had previously said that the main cause of the influx was an escalation of gang violence and poverty in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, which is, I think, a huge lie because that stuff's been going on since I was probably five. But the new measures Friday represented an acknowledgement that there is a widespread perception in Central America, I wonder why, that women and children who enter the United States illegally could be permitted to stay. I wonder where they got that from. I think I'm going to pick up Mikey. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Doing just fine.
Oh, my God. Can you believe what I went through yesterday and what I'm reading to you?
Well, sweetheart, it's kind of what I went through this afternoon on the
yes.
Rich Hancock Show in Dallas. Yes. it's the same. You know, honey,
yeah.
It's the same song and dance, okay?
Yep.
As I said to you earlier when we spoke, liberals have to use theatrics, semantics,
and lies,
diversions,
deception.
I'm being nice, and deflections.
Ugh.
Because they can't discuss the truth. They can't discuss the statistics. They will do anything they can to go off topic. They have to. They have to.
I know.
And I'm not going to make this segment all about me. I just want to say real quick.
Go ahead.
That my 2 hours were supposed to be on basically the Obama deception. His record and the fact that people don't like him because he's half black. We don't like him because he's a treasonous piece of crap. And I wasn't able to touch on any of it.
No.
Any of it.
No.
For 2 hours, Linda, we had one 3-hour break. So for 117 minutes, and you be the judge. When the archive comes out, I gave you the link, gave Ron the link.
Yes, yes.
When the archive comes out, you count the number of minutes that we spoke about Obama's record, and then get back to me. Because that's all you can do. Is deflect. And you're right. These undocumented children. No. They are illegal aliens brought in by factions of this rogue government under the guise of nonprofit groups to flood this country with future Democrat voters to make this a crystal clear, if you don't know it already, boys and girls, a one-party totalitarian
got
country. Case effing closed.
Bill's going, go, Mike. I agree. Hey, I mean, look.
And I will be challenging Rich Hancock. I've already decided. After this, I'm going to reach out to him on Facebook, and I want him in my ring 2 weeks from tomorrow. And by the way, he already has the show outline because I gave it to him, which he rejected, and which he came at me. I was totally blindsided. You'll see for yourself.
Yeah,
you'll see
I will. I'll check it out.
Because that's what they need to do. That's what liberals need to do. They need to totally deflect from the truth. Because they don't have it on the side, hon. You know it and I know it.
We talked about this.
Everybody else.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier when we had a little confab because I didn't realize I had to call in to hear the show, whatever, but I'll check it in the archives. Ron tried to come in, but something's wrong with his deal, and I'd love to have him try to call in again because I did try to unmute, but something went haywire. Please try again. So, like I said to you, when you deal with these people, okay, let's try one more time. It keeps circling.
I'm here.
There we go. Oh, gotcha. Okay, because it kept circling. I was explaining to Mikey earlier, I said, these people, and it's the only way that you know, in my experience on this planet, to explain these people's brainwashing. They are so soaked in it. It's like somebody put them in one of those jars that you can food in and infuse them with you know, some kind of weird liquid, and they've been snatched from their parents at 17 and put into the Bunky Moon, you know, cult for a year, and then you have to deprogram them.
This guy tried to say that, because I mentioned that Social Security and welfare are their entitlements, and he's trying to tell me that the unemployment entitlements have shrunk. Did not give me the chance to say, because they're falling off the rolls. And I said to him, do you really want to talk about that 6.3 unemployment rate? Linda, Ron, Bill, Cal, he did not address it. He deflected, and he went to something else. Because if he knew, if I went into my folder, I would have rammed him. I mean, you cannot deny the facts.
They don't want them.
Ron,
I don't know. How do you deal with these people, other than asking questions? Legitimate,
you know,
it's calm.
You can't. I mean, you guys know, and I've debated several idiots who have called in. And, you know, if they're rational and they have if they're rational and have an open mind, then you can have a reasonable debate. If they are irrational and have a closed-minded view of the world,
you can't deal with them. I know.
Not a damn thing you can do.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if you read that excerpt that I sent you that came from C-SPAN of this Susie Madrak, but I think the they're beginning to expose themselves more and more for the lunatics that they truly are. And this woman, Madrak, they were talking about gun control.
Oh, my
gosh. She said, now I'm going to read to you what she's talking about. Rick Perlstein writes about how Democrats completely surrender our political will to control guns when the Obama administration backed away from the Bundy Ranch. Quote, and I have to admit he makes a good point. I assumed the feds would be back later, as in a few weeks. How long has it been now? By the time anything actually happens, will it have any real deterrent effect? But Perlstein, now this is quoting, but Perlstein doesn't mention the big honking elephant in the room, namely, at what point does the federal government literally go to war with its own citizens, as if we aren't there now? Because we're not talking about bank robbers here, we're talking about mostly non-criminal cranks, scofflaws, and political malcontents. That's us, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes on to ask, so what line has to be crossed in the good old U.S. of A. before we start mowing them down to make our point? Because you can't talk about the Bundy Ranch without talking about Ruby Ridge and Waco.
My God. Yeah, like I said.
Well, if that's not the threat of murder, I don't know what is. But, of course, she's not going to go to jail for those statements because,
well, no, of course
okay,
not.
Okay, you're a libtard. You get a free pass.
And she goes on to ask, and this should be concerning to every American, do we have the ATF and BLM agents roll up in armored tanks? Do we use drone strikes? Excuse me?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Ron, look, I think you and I and everybody that's read any history at all, if there's anything that's going to hit the fan, I mean, not counting the financial crisis, if something's going to happen, it's going to be Lexington and Concord all over again. They're going to fire the first shot, and you know it. So be assured of that.
You know, and I've been saying for a long time, and Cal Living just brought something up in the chat room, and I'm telling you, all these political spats are just simply distractions, guys.
Yes.
They are distracting you.
Right.
And yes,
oh, I know.
Negative 2.9 growth rate. Now, let's factor in with that, Cal. That does not take into account the 4% infusion through QE3 that the Fed is continuing to do, which means you're actually at a 6.9 negative growth rate. And then we've got this thing going on today. Did anyone read that the Russians are having a meeting with the Saudis? Now, I wonder what possibly could they be discussing? After we also saw a report come out that Germany has decided, you know what? We don't need our gold back. We trust the Federal Reserve. And, you know, you guys have been safeguarding our gold for so long. We're not worried about it. We feel it's safe. There are riots, ladies and gentlemen. You're not hearing this on Fox News. There are riots in Germany to end the Fed.
Good.
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can, Ron. It's just a matter of time. The dominoes have to fall.
Yep.
And the people of Liptardia can spin this all they want. You're just denying the inevitable. And I'm glad there's riots in the streets. Matter of fact, thanks for telling me, Ron, because I'm going to check out RT.com tonight. They should have it. And for those of you that don't know who RT.com is, it's Russia Today, baby. And my friends, they are real journalism.
That's true.
Don't have to say.
That's the thing. It's just not being reported.
Not reported.
It's being
here.
Distorted.
It's not reported here. America with the K. It is being reported, I bet you, all over the world. But not here. See, we're the new China. We don't get the truth. We get what they want us to get. That's China.
This whole influx of immigrants currently, this is just another progression in the move to bring us to third world status. This is all part of, you know, part and parcel. It goes hand in hand with the NAFTA trade agreement. It is part of Agenda 21.
I agree.
The U.S. is positioned currently to be absolutely dethroned. And your standard of living, ladies and gentlemen, is fixing to change.
Yeah.
And not for the better. And very soon.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Look, when you talk about the Agenda 21 situation, I actually, there were so many pieces of articles that came to me from this gentleman that I hooked up with. He's actually in Massachusetts. And
Linda's hooking up. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Not that one. Anyway, so he had this video, and I somehow on Facebook, I got a hold of it. Somebody sent it to me, whatever, because I get so many emails, it's like crazy. And then I found out, I think it was a 23-minute video, and it was really amazing, and there was a website that I contacted him through that, told him I needed some information on how to kick ICLEI and Agenda 21 out of my small town, and that like he did, so he sends me all this fantastic stuff. Now, you're going to think I'm nuts, but some of this comes from the John Birch Society. Well, the things that I read on the air last week were pretty damn close to what you and I believe in, so they aren't too far off the mark on this. I mean, it was like von Mises, John Locke, and, you know, Thomas Jefferson all rolled into one that they were talking about.
The Birch Society has been around for a long time, and they've been a favorite punching bag of the progressives.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, anyway, so he gave me this. I haven't finished the entire presentation, but there's a gentleman who does this presentation on Common Core, and he has absolutely, and these articles in these books also by other people, has tied the ACA to Common Core to Agenda 21 right down the line. I mean, it is absolutely – the dominoes are perfect the way it lines up. I'm telling you, and this guy is brilliant. He's got people to back him up. He's got facts to back him up. It's, like, amazing. And this needs to be, like, viral as far as I'm concerned, absolutely, because they're – you've got the IRS, you've got the ACA, you've got the health department, you've got them trying to come after the vets and others with, you know, the mental issues with the guns. I mean, and the bullying are on top of it. We got the detention centers, they're flooding the system. Wow. You tell me this isn't pre-planned and this isn't out of the old UN Agenda 21, and who the hell's doing this? Who's hiring these clowns to come over my city and spray chemtrails all over the place? I'd like to know that one, too.
Oh, no, no, wait a second. No, there are no such thing as chemtrails. That's just water jet engine evaporation kind of whatever.
I got pictures of them. And you know what?
No, chemtrails. Our soil isn't depleted. We're not suffering from vitamin deficiency. Cancer rate is not up 3,000% because our soil and our water is contaminated. No. And Monsanto and Walmart, well, they're just great too. Right. That's why they're being banned all over the freaking world.
And I got to go down to Lowe's or Ace Hardware and buy $3, and you can get a whole lot of it. It's vitamin B1 for my plants so they don't get depleted. Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, I know.
Guys, let me tell you. I spend over $250 a month on holistic vitamins and HGH because I will not get Obamacare. I'm not going to.
Don't get sick.
I'm not gonna get it. They can shove it up their ass. Oh, Linda, if I get sick, if I gotta go to the hospital, I start speaking Spanish, baby.
Absolutely.
Inglés. Enferma de estómago. Done. Eat me.
And the other thing is, because you do not want to be, in fact, don't even go in there. Trust me. Don't be older and go in for any procedures. Just take your 9mm and swallow it and pull the trigger. Let me tell you, you're better off.
I'm going to rape the system like everybody else.
It doesn't
work. I'm going to rack up a $100,000 bill, and I'm going to tell them to shove it up their ass, go get it from the caliph in chief, the Ayatollah of the welfare roller. You go get it from him. You ain't getting it from me.
Okay, my dad, when he was sick... When he went in for the colon cancer surgery, I get it. Okay, and he was in his 80s, mid-80s, and what these people are doing with people over a certain age is absolutely despicable. And he was on Medicare, and he had supplemental through United Healthcare or ARP or whatever the heck you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So there was no charge to him except for what they did to him. These SOBs, this is part of the Fabian Socialist, Eugenicist, Agenda 21 nonsense, death panels, whatever you want to call it, because they literally erased his mind with the goddamn Haldol that they gave him for all the time he was in ICU and in other parts of the hospitals. I'm telling you, he came home, he did not know who my mother was. He got advanced Alzheimer's for the last 6 years of his life. This is what they do to people. I am a witness to it, and that happened to my sister's ex-boss when he was in his 80s. And the same guy who did my back surgery, he didn't give me Haldol, but he gave the next surgery guy who was in his 80s the friggin' stuff. I'm telling you, even in Scripps, it doesn't matter if you're in Tri-City, stay the hell away from these clowns. You're right, Mikey. You take care of yourself.
Well, you know, it's a fact in the United States, doctors kill more people than anything.
Yeah,
more than heart disease, cancer, crime.
Car accidents. Like I said, mortality rate, Buicks. I'm telling you, it's craziness. Oy, it's the truth. I mean, but I'll tell you guys, my experience, and they were talking about it all on Mike Slater's show this morning and the other shows before I came on the air in our local area, because we had a huge turnout. One of the guys was saying, and I believe it was Mike Slater, he said, I have been to so many meetings and so many council meetings and all these meetings and government things throughout, even with Bob Filner's situation down in San Diego. He says, I have never seen a chamber that filled ever. And I think I have – I'm going to see who's on here today. You're on the air.
This Legislative.
Yay!
Robert!
Wow, look at that.
I
know. How are
I'm
you
so
guys?
Excited. How you doing?
The prodigal son returns.
Yes.
I was very ill. I almost died.
Mm. Oh, no.
Sorry about that, brother.
So
those damn ham sandwiches, Robert.
It's the pork.
Are you bashing me because I eat pork and I'm a Jew?
See, Robert, I'm telling you, it's God's punishing you because you were eating that pork.
No, Robert said it mightn't you.
No, he's not, because you know why? He's not punishing me, guys, because I'm announcing my candidacy on Blog Talk Radio.
Cool.
I am running for Florida House Representative District 74.
Outstanding.
Awesome.
As an independent writing candidate.
Good for you.
Yay.
I just qualified and I just finished my campaign finance reports and I'm in.
Now, Robert,
oh, yay.
I have to ask a question. Have you seen or heard from Frank?
No, I haven't, because I tried very hard to try to contact him through his case manager at the nursing home. Oh. And Frank is not returning my phone calls.
Oh.
So he knows where I am. And if he wants, I gave him my phone number. And if he would like to call me, he may. And I'm sure he will come out of the woodwork, because by October of next year will be my, before the November election, will be my 50th high school reunion.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I'm gonna come pay you a visit next month.
I think you should, because I fought, but let me tell you what happened to my leg real quick. And let me tell you the healthcare debate, which I clinched. I figured out the fuzzy math of the middle class. It's unbelievable. I figured it out. I crunched the numbers, and I got it down to a science now. Nobody can argue my foolproof middle class fuzzy math. Before I went into surgery, let me explain what happened. They thought I ruptured my Achilles left tendon. But they weren't quite sure, so they ordered an MRI, right? It took my insurance company 7 days to decide whether I needed an MRI. During that interim, it festered into a hematoma as big as a baseball, right flat in the middle of my tibia, shin bone. Tibia in my shin bone. It took a whole month from April 4th. I was supposed to run in a 10K marathon. And I was running 5 miles a day in less than an hour, which is pretty good for a 58-year-old, you know what.
It's damn good.
But,
wow.
Linda, it stopped me dead in my tracks.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, my God. That's why we were so worried about you.
May I say one thing, Robert?
Yes,
Robert, this is Mike, brother. Listen, I want to give you my email address, because I would like your link to your campaign. I imagine you have some sort of a campaign website or something. Good.
Let me give you my website on the radio show. It's www.robertsamuelkaplan.com.
Well,
Robert,
what was that? Yeah, what was that
Samuel
again?
Samuel.
Kaplan. www.robertsamuelkaplan.com.
With a K,
Kaplan. With the K, KAPLAN.com.
Okay, got it on there.
I've been battling walking pneumonia.
Yep, there he is.
I've been battling walking pneumonia for a whole year now. You know, since January.
Actually,
since October when I came back from my brother.
Ron had it too.
It was awful.
Yep.
I had to tear up my kitchen, my living room. I had to get the rugs out. I had to remodel my bathroom. I remodeled my kitchen. That was full of mold and mildew in my house. That, you know?
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yep.
So let me tell you what happened when I got to the hospital. This is the clincher of the healthcare debate. Okay?
Oh, man.
My liaison at my hospital said, "Mr. Kaplan, you have not met your deductible." I said, "And?" Well, you have to pay $5,000 out-of-pocket expenses before we go in, or we will turn you away.
Oh, my God.
I said, "Really? Is that so?" And so I said, "Is that your policy, my insurance company's policy, or Obama's policy?" We can't answer that question for you. He says, "Listen here, ma'am, you better answer that question for me, because I'm running for Florida State Representative. If I don't know the answer to that question, I will research for you and give you the answer to the question, right? So we can't answer that question. So I had to get my sister on the line to get the money to so I could pay for it. This is 7:30 right. in the morning, mind you.
Oh my God!
My sister gets on the phone. Can he make payments? Oh no, we need the money up front.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Oh my God!
Okay. My sister goes, I don't have $5,000. She goes, well, what about $2,500? So my sister goes, okay, I can afford that. So she puts it on the credit card, and I paid her back the $2,500.
Oh, my God.
And I'm Linda, I'm beating my head against the wall. What's this $5,000? What's this $2,500? I'm beating my head against the wall, right? Okay. So here comes the chaplain before my surgery, blessed me, and I'm telling you, everybody that I'm running, they probably think I'm a sugar now, I'm crazy, you know. And then all of a sudden, after surgery, I woke up and it hit me like right between dead in the eyes.
As wow.
Leonie and I are married now.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And my wife took me home. And I, as much pain as I was in, Linda, I went into the health care law bill, right? And when you go into the health care law bill on pages 1, 3, 4, 7, 9, there's keywords you want to look for. 5,000, 2,500,
oh my God,
penalty, tax, fine, and fair share. All
Jesus.
Through the healthcare, before the bill was even passed,
you
Mr.
gotta
Obama,
pass it to find out
Mr.
what's in it.
Mr. Obama was already picking on the individual mandate.
He's such a schmendrick.
The reason why I know this, and I said this on the radio show numerous times, right? I said this because I was, you know, moaning and groaning, and Ron goes, well, that's what you get for getting health insurance. You know, it's only a tax, you know. But remember when Mr. Obama said, quote, unquote, our plan will save a family for $2,500? Remember
that
quote?
Right. Uh-huh.
Remember that?
He also said that some people will pay insurance for less than a phone bill.
Yeah,
well, that's true too, Mikey. But let me
you're
finish.
If you got an Obama phone,
I paid the $2,500, right?
Oh God!
I paid the $2,500. So get this: the people who signed up for Obamacare, all right? The people who signed up for Obamacare, their premiums are $6,000. Okay,
yep.
I mean their deductible is $6,000.
Unbelievable.
Last July I had a $2,500 deductible, but my premiums were going to go up to $501 a month. I couldn't bank on that. I can't afford that because I live on a fixed income. So, I said, is my law grandfathered into the Obama Affordable Care Act? He says, you better keep that insurance. And I said, why should I keep it if you won't tell me if it's grandfathered? We're not allowed to tell you that information. I said, if you're not allowed to tell me that information, then you might as well give me the $5,000 deductible.
Jeez.
And a lower premium with
$317.
That's crazy. Well, I'm not done yet. You might as well give me the $5,000, the $317 premium, right? Which is the worst thing anybody could ever do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at, when you go to 13479, Mikey, and when you see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened to me, that $2,500, see, I had to pay a tax to have surgery on my leg because the people who don't pay their premiums in Obamacare, guess who pays them?
Uh-huh.
We do, and the dogs do. So I gave the $2,500 to my neighbor down the street who has Obamacare, and I don't have health insurance anymore after July of 2015.
Wow! Oh
so
my God!
That's America.
One of the,
Robert, is that story you just told on your website?
Yes.
Because I think it should be. Okay, good. Okay.
Oh, good, good. Absolutely.
It will be published.
Yeah, I would.
Good for you.
One of the reasons why I'm running. The second reason why I'm running is because I got denied disability twice, even though I had a stroke and a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
All right? I was so sick, Linda. My wife wanted me to apply for disability. I said, I don't need to. Just do it anyways. Now, the state of Florida, SSI only allows $3,750 for benefits, okay? Now, I only make $3,800 a month from an annuity when I was forced into retirement. So I get a letter twice saying I make too much money. And you know how much I made it by? I missed it by $20. I missed SSI by $20.
I don't understand, Robert, how this could be happening to you. When pro-Obamacare supporters, like the one I had a debate on his show today, is saving millions of lives. I don't understand how this can happen.
Of course, he
couldn't give me a name, mind you, of who Obamacare is saving, but I don't understand how these things are happening.
1% of the population? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, really.
He's such a schwatzer.
Linda, I'm ashamed of you.
He is. I'm sorry.
No.
And he's also a schwanz.
Let me finish, though. So I missed it by 20. So if you multiply 20 times 12, that's $240 a year. So the moral of the story is the people are making $50,000 or less. Our government thinks we're worth only $240 a year, period. After taxes.
I'm really happy you called. I'm so excited, and we're going to stay on the line. We're going to have people call in because I got 7 minutes left. I'd love to have you kids in archives. This is fabulous. I want to tell you the other part of this deal. That I was addressing Cal Living because they were talking about not being turned away. Well, there are certain laws, and I believe it was under Ronald Reagan, where you cannot be denied health care if you are impoverished. Okay, so now here I am in 2006, and I'm 57 years old at that point. So, oh boy, did I give my age away there. Anyway, you guys are smart. So I'm completely, I'm literally disabled. I could not go to work, even though I wanted to, and I was, you know, trying to keep my head above water and pay my rent and everything else, like a normal person. And here I am completely devastated. So I am literally on California state disability because I couldn't apply for the other thing because it was undetermined. But once you get that status and you, because I had trouble walking and, you know, not wincing in pain every 5 minutes. Once you know that you're unemployed because of this and you've been devastated by something, we have what's in California is called CMS, and I'm sure it's in other states. It is actually a federal program. You apply for it. All of your medical situations are taken care of. You are disabled.
But that's if you're in that position. If you're not in that position, you're hung out to dry. And I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, I thought you can't be turned away.
You can't be turned away.
Or is that just in the ER if you're dying?
That was the misconception, Mikey.
But you still have to pay for it. They'll bill you
Let me answer your question for you. I can answer that question for you. The reason why they're turning you away is because Obama signed it into law. You have to pay your fees up front. It's
correct.
The law. Okay?
Correct.
So this is how I won the debate.
Gotcha.
This is why I'm winning the debate. The debate is Saturday. I get a check from my hospital. I get a bill. I thought it was a bill from my hospital, right? I opened up the check, and lo and behold, Mikey and Linda and Ron, I got a refund for overpayment of $1,354.
Wow.
Okay? In other words, my insurance company denied the law of Obamacare's law. You understand?
So they overruled the ACA is what you're telling me.
They overruled whoever wrote the rule to do that, yes.
Well, I don't know how long they're going to get away with that, but time will
I don't know either. I don't know that either, Mikey, but I got a refund, and I went to the bank account.
Oh, that's good. And I know there's only 5 minutes left. Linda, this is why I've told you, right? We talked about it this afternoon. You cannot do just 60 minutes, honey.
Okay.
I've been telling her that, Mike, forever.
I know.
It's got to be 2 hours, kid. Come on. Let's go. Let's get it moving.
And Robin, I just wanted to.
3 in the call. Let's go. Sorry, Ron.
I just wanted to mention that, you know, what I mentioned on my show Monday night, you know, the kids, the younger generation is finding out just how great Obamacare is. My son and his wife and 2 kids moved back down to Georgia, and my son has gone back to work, and his wife's currently looking for a job. So his job pays a lot less than hers.
Mm-hmm.
So the company that he's gone to work for has insurance, of course, employer, you know, mandated insurance, basically.
Right.
And there's 4 different plans that he can choose from. The least expensive plan is $300 a week. $300 a week. Oh, it gets better. With a $7,000 deductible.
That's my whole point.
And it's a 70-30 payment plan. So I'm sitting there going, well, now, you know, if you do the math, just dead serious, if you do the math, if you have one procedure in a calendar year that cost $10,000, one operation, whatever you need, and you're paying $300 a week plus $7,000 deductible plus a 70-30, it costs you $25,000 out of pocket for a $10,000 procedure 1 year.
That's it. You know how much my surgery costs? $15,000. $15,000, Ron, and my insurance paid for it. And Mr. Obama thought my insurance policy was a cheesy policy. So, you know, that's why I threw my hat in the ring, and I don't care if they assassinate me before November. If they don't debate me, Ron, Mike, and Linda, if they don't cover my story, if they don't cover my campaign, Kiss is going to win the election. Yours truly.
Yeah.
You wait and see.
Oh. Praise the Lord. You know, I got 2 minutes left. I'm so happy you're here. I'm just going to play a couple seconds of this thing, and if you guys want to hang on the line and do a little bit of archives, that would be fantastic. I'm so excited. And, Bill, I will talk right now about Delaney, and I know that Penny and Ron are very unhappy they can't be there. Anyone who's well and healthy, please come. It's July 13th through the 20th. I am so excited. I'm, like, making a list to go to Walmart and pack everything. It's just so we're going to party. I'm going to drink my buns off. I've been on a diet since January, honey. It's off when I get there. It is, and I look hot. I'm starting to look really, really slender and pretty.
Eat a lot of hemp for me, okay?
Oh, yeah, we will. Yeah. what is
as
that
long as
joke?
It's kosher.
That's right. As long as it's kosher.
But the priest and the rabbi, between the pork and the sex, it's better than pork, ain't it? Yeah, you can.
Oh,
beats
the hell out of
God.
Beats the hell out of a ham sandwich.
I'm not backing down from this race.
I love it. I'm so excited. But anyone who wants to stay in our archives
for you guys. I did it for you guys.
I know, it's fabulous.
I did it for everyone. I'm pulling for this guy from the St. Pete Times called me up, right? He says, do you really know what you did? So what happened was my papers were supposed to be due on the 20th of June. And what happened is when in the state of Florida, if you run as an independent write-in, you automatically close the primaries. Well, I wasn't privy to that because I didn't see it in the laws, right? So I happened to close it. The primaries aren't closed. They still have to run. I just made it.
Give me 10 seconds, Robert. Stay on the line with us. We're going to play a little bit more here.
But I made it to the general election, and I did not disenfranchise.
Okay. You can still stay on. Okay. All right. Hold on. 5 seconds. Now just... Okay, that was for the audience, and you guys are still here, and I'm so happy to hear from you, Robert. It's amazing.
I love you guys, you know.
God.
I've been so sick. I only can walk two miles with 3-pound ankle weights and dumbbells. That was my physical therapy. Like, my God, I can honestly say, and if Ron's still on the line, if Mikey's still on the line.
Yep.
I could honestly say as being a Catholic school graduate, which I have a right to say this, I could honestly say that the pain in my leg, I could honestly say that I know how Jesus Christ felt when he had his first nail in his leg. I could say that because that's how
bad enough.
Linda. It looks like a bullet wound. Not only did I lose my health care, Linda, I almost lost my leg due to Obamacare.
Jeez.
And that's why I threw my hat in the ring. And I said, I'm not going down no more. I'm not going down. Because my chief head of biostatistics at USF made me get an EEG. And he said, if it comes back negative, then you have environmental issues in your home. And when I tore up my carpet, I put dark laminate for Ron because he turned me on to laminate. I did that for Ron, okay? and I repainted my home. I redid the kitchen. I mean, you guys need to come down to Florida.
Okay, we'll do it.
When I win the election, I'm going to win this election. I am not backing down.
Okay, Robert, you know what? We'll do everything to help you. I'll be here to help you. I will promote it from here. I'll promote your website. We'll get donations, whatever, because we'd love to come to Florida and hang out, and I heard that area is fantastic. I'm kind of, hanging in here with my mom because she needs a lot of help right now, and I'm her primary caregiver, which I love doing because she's my mom, and it's working out. And I'm so thankful for all of you guys. The healthcare system sucks. This has been going on for decades because my dad got sick in 2004, and he died in 2010. And I'm telling you, they have been targeting seniors like the Fabian Socialist Eugenics that they are
for a hell of a long time. How's Bill recovering from his heart surgery?
He's doing fine. As long as he doesn't overdo, and he's going to start abdicating some of his things to other people, and we're going to help him. So there you go. Thank you, Ron and Mikey, for being here. You guys keep talking.
You got it.
But, and Robert, I'm pushing. I'm love it that you're here.
I did this for you guys.
Thank you.
You helped me debate the issues, and I knew Ron thought I might have been a socialist. This is one of the other reasons why I threw my hat. This is one of the other reasons why I threw my hat in the ring. I was watching C-SPAN at 2:30 in the morning, like a moron, right? And I saw Romney trying to.
I'm not touching that one.
I saw Romney trying to defend his budget plan. Right, this is like 4 weeks. This was during the interim of the when I was waiting for my MRI when I was in excruciating pain. This is why I threw my hat in the ring. Romney said this quote unquote when the social liberal agenda says open quotes, close quotes, invest, they mean open quotes, close quotes, tax and spend.
Yep, that's and, what. It, oh,
and
yeah.
What he and what he said that, Linda.
Marxism.
I saw red. I said after the fact, you after the fact you cut the veterans' benefits, you no good. You no good.
S-O-B-S.
And that's why I threw my hat in the ring. I said I had
Robert,
enough. And I said, yes. I don't care if I have to die for my country because the way I felt, I was already dying anyway.
You got that right. And Robert, when you saw red, there was a little gold sickle and hammer in that little corner, wasn't there? Yeah, that's what you see. You
Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my soul, yes.
And I want to just, we'll wrap it up, and I love what you're doing, and Robert, keep in contact with us. You'll be in our prayers.
I'll keep in touch. My campaign just kicked off.
Oh, my God,
today.
This is great. This is great.
And I did it for you guys. I did it
oh
for
my God.
All.
Do
and,
it for
and,
the country,
and,
baby.
The only thing they can do is shoot me. That's all they can do.
Yeah,
and
right.
Let them come after me. I don't care. I'm ready for the debate. I'm seasoned. And I'm not scared of a thing. And I know I'm right. And always remember this. The $3,800 that I live off of you a year, right? I mean, for $46,000 that I live off a year, I have to raise $60,000 tax free in order to withdraw that salary, right? Tax free
right.
from an annuity, which Ron hates that word, but I now I understand why he hates that word. So if you subtract $46,000 by 60,000, what is my annuity really worth?
Yeah. So, well,
that's it. My poverty is what you call a broke Spanish Jew.
Baby, okay. I'm gonna let's wrap this up a little bit, and I want to go to Mikey B on all the subjects we've talked about. Robert's running for Congress seat in Florida. What say you?
Well, House I was
of,
certainly
House of Representatives.
Yeah,
House of Representatives. I will certainly, Robert. I will put your link all over Facebook.
Yep.
I'm building quite the network.
Yes.
I mean, I'm making like 20 friends a day, all around the world.
I love it.
And I'm joining so many groups.
You live in Texas, right?
I do. Dallas area. Yes.
The only senators that emailed me back concerning my pitch
your
about health care
uh-huh.
was Marco Rubio, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, and Ted Cruz. Those are the only three people
I love Ted.
Who emailed, who listened to me and said that I was right.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I will
put your link out on Facebook.
Thank
and
you,
Robert,
Mikey.
You know, you are welcome to call into my show.
Anytime.
I know. I've been really busy with Kathy and Leonie. And
absolutely.
Please forget 24
we
hours.
We love you, Robert. God bless you.
You have
God
time. You have 4.5 months. You have time.
And Ron,
what
say you, Ron?
You tell Dr. Paul for me that I love him.
Robert has talked previously about, running for office, and I encouraged him, back when he first mentioned it, to absolutely. So
yep.
I'm
yep.
happy,
absolutely.
I'm happy for
Amen.
You, and,
Yay.
You know, we're here to help. So
you betcha.
Ron, you remember my friend who died in the house fire? Remember I told you that story? Oh. He always encouraged me to run too, and my campaign is in the memory of Alan Strode of Venice, Florida, and I took care of his daddy, but that was my last case of a CNA before I had my stroke. So my hat's off to Alan for.
I got you a campaign slogan, Robert.
What's that? You know what my campaign slogan says? Say no to Yes We Can.
I saw that, but you need another one that says we can't do any worse, but surely we can do better.
Okay. I don't know how we're gonna do it. But did I nail the fuzzy math for everybody of the middle class? Did I explain it clearly? I can't explain it.
Yeah, very clear.
I can't explain it any more clearly what the government's doing to us. We are the fading middle class. Slowly but surely, they're trying to put us in our graves.
So
you know what? I'm going down with the fight, and they're not going to mess with me anymore.
And replace us with third world illegal immigrants.
Well, you know, that's another issue, too, those poor kids coming in.
Oh, yeah.
I told you.
Robert, you missed the first part of the show.
But that's all right. But this is my view about Mexico. And I've said this to Congressman Vermi Cannon. I've said this to every even before I came on your show. I was fighting this thing to no end before I even came on your show. And my view is, why don't we just make Mexico the 51st state of the union and just tear down the walls and call it a day? Period. Just let them come in. That's my viewpoint. And that will solve the whole issue. We can get their manufacturing jobs and put people back to work. I mean,
that's not a bad
grow.
Idea. You know, that's not a bad concept.
That's
think about
how
that.
Mikey,
well, isn't that what we're doing with the North American Union anyway?
Well, I don't know. Well, we haven't seen it yet, though.
Sure,
where
certainly seems to be that way.
Well, where is it? Where is this union? And where is the benefit to, like, you know,
now,
us working slobs?
You're presuming a little too much if you presume that that there's supposed to be some benefit to you, Mike.
Well, what I'm saying is a better pursuit of happiness and prosperity, if you will.
Yeah, that's not in there either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a pursuit of happiness, though.
What they're doing is they're relocating all the poorest people from the poorest areas Central and South America, and that will clear the way for the wealthy. You know, all the coastal areas and that's where they want to be.
Yeah, they'll have.
And
we'll
send all the refugees up here to live with the rest of us, refugees.
You're right. They'll have the prime choice, and they'll have the prime choice of America. And we'll be thrown into the inner cities, living in 200 square foot boxes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no, it'll be. I think it'll be worse than that, Mikey B. It's not even going to be 200 square feet. It's going to be FEMA camps when it all comes down with Agenda 21. Well, you know what?
That's very possible.
What I saw yesterday in a small town of Escondido, I don't think so. People are ticked off.
I do think the quality of Mexican food available in our area is going to increase dramatically.
You're funny, Elon.
Well, it's
let
down
me tell
here
you,
in Texas, brother.
Let me
I got Texas, you know.
Let me tell you what else is on the ballot in November in the state of Florida. The passage of the medical marijuana.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. What do we got? Five, six states with this nonsense?
Yeah, but that's what I'm dealing with, too. I don't know how to handle that one yet.
I'll tell you how you handle it. The thing for me is the whole medical marijuana angle is just a bunch of nonsense.
It is.
I have to ask a few questions, and I don't think people really understand this and what they've done, and it's encroachment by stealth, because when they first passed the laws on cannabis, marijuana,
mm-hmm.
What the law said was that it was illegal for you to sell or purchase marijuana without a tax stamp. Now, some people are under the false impression that owning a machine gun is against the law. It's certainly not. I can create a trust. I can pay the $200 stamp fee, mm-hmm. tax stamp, and once my paperwork clears, I can purchase a fully automatic machine gun.
After your cat's been fingerprinted.
Right. And here's the rub. You see, if I'm in possession of a machine gun before I apply for the stamp and I admit such, I'm going to jail. directly to jail. Do not pass go. Well,
oh my God.
In order to get a tax stamp for marijuana, you first have to inform the government that you are in possession of said marijuana. Okay? And then apply for the tax stamp.
And go to jail.
Well, you can imagine how many people applied. And in the history of our government, no one's ever been issued one of those tax stamps.
God. That's funny.
So it was a de facto way around the law. And they knew, ladies and gentlemen, because of the prohibition. You know, when we had prohibition of alcohol, they got a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol. Remember that? And then they had another constitutional amendment to repeal
it.
The prohibition amendment. So the question would be, where is the constitutional amendment prohibiting marijuana, heroin?
I can answer that.
There
by a photo pen.
So there isn't one.
Well,
so what they did was along the way, after they got this tax stamp, then they went into the Controlled Substance Act. And then they magically added into the tail end of that. And if you go look it up in your local statutes, I guarantee you it's worded exactly this way, because the states simply copy the federal statute. Okay, and it talks about any controlled substance and marijuana. Now, just by that wording, that would lead one to believe that marijuana is not included in a controlled substance.
Marijuana is bad, okay?
Let me tell you something about California here, you know, Libtardia. Back in 2006 and 2007 when I had my back surgery, yes, marijuana did help my the pain subsiding, but only lasted for about 8 minutes. So that means I never had cancer, thank God, but so I don't know how that equates to marijuana.
Linda was cranking up the bong.
No, I actually, it was the old Acapulco Gold. I can't stand that other stuff. It's just too hallucinogenic. But, you know, I'd smoke a little joint, and then 8 minutes later, after I was feeling fantastic and actually dancing like I did when I was 20, I would have to redo the whole process. So if you're serious on that kind of pain, which if you had a couple, you know, bottles of good old, what's that stuff, OxyContin, you know, you could deal with it. But you would have to smoke that stuff close to 12 hours a day to make it work for that kind of pain. And I was dealing with scar tissue.
The president did that for how many years in Hawaii? So what?
Yeah. Well,
can I give you an opinion on why the whole marijuana thing is being allowed?
Why?
Sure. I need to hear it.
Because they're getting less and less federal revenue from tobacco sales.
Well, yeah, because people are quitting because they don't want to wind up with COPD, for Christ's sake. I don't blame them.
So we have to have something to take its place.
You damn right.
Got to have something to take its place.
Oh, you know what, Ron? This reminds me of what you said the other day on your show, and you said what Thomas Jefferson, whom I absolutely adore, and he talked about beware the central banks and the evil corporations that will grow up around them. And you nailed it. He nailed it. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, but that's just a conspiracy concocted by people with tinfoil hats. None of this is real. The government is good. This is what I dealt with this afternoon. So,
well, see, and that's the great secret that nobody wants to let out, Mike, is that, you know, all these studies, my God, I can't tell you how many things I've read about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, or the rise and fall of the of this empire, or the British Empire, or that empire. And they're always looking for these little nuances that precipitated the collapse of this society or that. And it seems that the one glaring, obvious truth that shines through in every one of those stories is that the government is what caused the downfall of every one of those empires.
Right.
It wasn't the rank-and-file Joe Blow citizen. It wasn't the peons or the serfs that caused it.
Right.
It was the government propensity for largesse. And they outstripped the ability to rob their neighbors through plunder and war.
Yes.
And they could not. They'd already besieged their citizens, their subjects, to the point of abject poverty. They had nowhere else to steal from.
Right. And you will run out of other people's
society
money.
Under it. Yeah. They all collapsed under the weight of their own largesse.
Yes, yes, yes. And Ron, I think you touched on this as well, and I know Glenn Beck has touched on this just recently about a huge central planned government, whether it's economic and or central, you know, totalitarianism versus a very small limited government. Which one has always been the propensity to have totalitarianism and tyranny and Stalin-esque type situations? That would be the large S, the large, huge bureaucracies, the huge central planned government, all this time. Anytime there's a limited, tiny little thing going on, no, there is no anti-freedom there. And that's what the founders knew. Everybody from John Locke to Friedman to, I mean,
you
name
know,
it.
You know. And Linda, you know, there is a historical name for all these people in government currently,
right.
Not progressives, not liberal progressives. There's a single one-word name that describes every damned one of them, regardless of which party they claim to adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
They're Bolsheviks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Because you know what, Ron? When I read that book and those two people that fomented that Bolshevik revolution, and I have subsequent stuff from you, thank you, and other items about how they assassinated those people in secret, the czars, and they pushed forward, and then they were against Hitler, Hitler was against them. There was no damn difference between the two of them, not 1 ounce of difference. They had the same objective, they just called themselves by different names.
Stalin and Lenin killed more people than Hitler?
Yes.
I think they did. Yes, and so did Mao Zedong.
So who's the bad guy?
Far more.
It doesn't matter.
They're in the 60 million, but, I mean, we're splitting hairs. And while we're on the subject...
They're all roasting.
Explain to me, ladies and gentlemen...
In Haiti.
...how the government of the United States is any different.
They're not.
When we look at the political upheaval that we created in Iran, Afghanistan, the Soviet Union,
I know,
Iraq, Libya, Lebanon, Syria,
Germany, 100 years ago.
Seriously, look at what the hell we are doing or has been done in our name. How many people have been murdered? What were we doing in Vietnam?
What are we doing now? What are we doing now? The 24-hour drone strikes. What are we doing now?
Go, Robert.
Interject on that one. I was camp hitting. I went to Jersey Mike's Subs, you know. They had a Philly steak and cheese. And I was talking to this guy. I was telling him that I was running. He said, "What's your view on Iraq?" And I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, "No president should ever discuss any military tactic of what we're going to do anywhere in the world, period. No president." You know what the guy says? "You got my vote."
Oh, yay.
I disagree with that, because I would want full disclosure that we have a president that's dropping drone strikes 24 hours a day in Southwest Asia, killing women and children. I would want to know that. And I would want to know that we've entered war in a country that had nothing to do with 9/11 and had no association with Al-Qaeda. I personally would like that disclosed. So, Robert, I respectfully disagree.
Thank God for the internet right now.
But you know, Mikey, I said that for one reason. It's because I was just focusing on Iraq. I wasn't focusing on other issues. And I stand corrected on that. You're right. I would want to know.
In regards to troop withdrawal and that kind of thing. But, you know, Ron Paul had it correct. We just marched in. We should just march out.
Correct.
And let's take a look at the region and see, this is the thing that none of these idiots will actually address. Regardless of what your personal feelings are about Saddam Hussein and how he treated people in his country, that's a humanitarian thing.
Right.
How many people did Saddam murder in his country? And then let's look at how many Iraqis have been killed because of our presence in the country.
So disproportionate.
It's over a million. Over a million. And here's the thing. Let's look at the end product of our intervention of 12 years.
Yes.
How stable is Iraq?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to 6 months from now when we have thousands of troops back in there.
You're not going to see that. You're not going to see that. You know why?
Why?
Who? Okay. First of all, you've got to look at the group of insurgents or terrorists, mercenaries, that are in Iraq currently.
Jesus.
Okay. Who has been funding this group, and where are they coming from? The answer to that is the United States and Saudi Arabia have been funding this group, and where they're coming from, boys and girls, is Syria.
Oh, my God.
These are the same guys that have been trying to enforce a regime change in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
But since that dog won't hunt, we're going to shift our focus back to Iraq. Again, people are presuming...
Jesus.
That we went into Iraq to bring them freaking ideology of democracy.
Yeah.
They don't recognize.
Oh, my God.
They don't want. They absolutely reject it.
Yeah.
You know, even the guys that play
it
ball that are supposedly on our side in Iraq, look, as long as Saudi Arabia wants it, that's the way it's going to be. And I can tell you that currently the conversation between the Russians and Saudi Arabia is because Russia disagrees with the Saudis on Syria and on Iraq.
Yeah, but the question, the bottom line is the control over oil there. And that's what this whole thing is.
Here's the thing, and I believe that the Russians are smart enough that they know the truth, and you're right, Robert, when you say it's about the control of oil, but it's not actually about the control of oil.
This is crazy.
What it is about is the control of currency in world trade.
No, it's always the money.
And the United States, that is exactly why the United States will not betray the Saudis' dreams and hopes and their fanaticism through Islam, okay? And it's precisely why the Russians will say, you know what, we're willing to turn a blind eye to that as long as you agree to accept rubles or...
Speaking of the Russians, where was the Russians and the Ukraine stuff? How come I don't hear any more about that?
Well,
because
I mean,
they took it. The Ukraine's over. That's why.
Let me tell you. Vladimir Putin is a brilliant strategist. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, what's smarter than Barry the maggot?
We've got that whole the democratic, you know, the obligation to protect, right?
Something like that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in Russia, in their law, they do have an obligation to intervene into outlying territories like the Ukraine, that pose a political threat to Russia. Mm-hmm. What Vladimir Putin has done is he went in and introduced a bill, an act, a resolution, whatever they call it over there, in the Russian parliament to remove that stipulation regarding Ukraine. So that the government, because as the law stands right now, they don't have a choice under Russian law. They have to intervene. And what Putin has done is said, I want to change that law regarding the Ukraine so that we can give them time to decide rather than just invading. Wow. He's playing a game of chess. The guy's a brilliant strategist.
You know what, Ron?
He wins again.
You know what I think about that, too? Is, you know, they were bashing Sarah Palin because she could see Russia in her backyard.
Oh,
yeah.
So I propose the next move that Putin's going to make. How do you know he's not going to try to take control over Alaska? You know,
Robert doesn't have to.
All you have to do is read Sarah Palin's book, which was very well researched. I have it in my library, and. Remember that whole situation on Saturday Night Live? Tina Fey was playing her, and the media,
the libtard media,
got a hold of it. Tina Fey was the one who said that, not Sarah Palin. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, she was right on the money. I wrote that, you tell a lie often enough,
it's the truth.
I wrote
that statement to Judge Jeanine. I really did. I wrote
good
to
for
her.
You.
I have to say this.
I'm so glad you're running and you're healthy, and thank God you're back and all these great things. We're going to do a whole bunch of great things to help you.
I really appreciate your help. I know I get out of line, and I know I raise my voice. I'm trying to keep cool, calm, and collective.
When I was speaking in front of the city council last night, believe me, I was admonished, but I got hoot and hollers from the audience. I don't care. They can tell me what I can say and not say, and 2 + 2 = 5, and they can pound sand. Oh no!
Linda, I can tell you've been doing your homework too.
Absolutely.
I can tell. I can just tell by listening you've been doing your homework.
Everybody
does their homework on this show, and that's what it's supposed to be.
Here's what I'm going to do next week. I'm going to spend some of my time on my show with other things going on because we have many things to talk about. And what Ron and Mikey have talked about today, and I know that you've touched on this too, when we talk about non-intervention, the Ron Paulian theory of it's not isolationism in one sense, but it is foreign entanglements. Beware of foreign entanglements. I am going to start quoting, and I've got tons of them, honey. Believe me, it would take me half an hour to do it, of George Washington's anti-foreign entanglement situations.
Linda.
And I'm going to do some of that next week. So,
Linda,
enjoy.
May I read my campaign letter to the Firefighters Association of Florida to you real quick?
Yeah, you have my email.
Yeah, but I want to read my... I know, I
go
do.
Ahead.
Hold on one second. Let me see. This is what I briefly said about an hour ago, but...
Okay.
I didn't know how to answer them on bargaining, collective dues, and pensions, right?
Okay.
So this is my letter to Attention Florida Professional Firefighters for the state of Florida. And Ron, you might get mad at me about what I'm about to say, but
you may
jump in at any time if you disagree, and that includes you too, Mikey. My name is Robert Samuel Kaplan, a lifelong native of Venice, Florida since 1955. I am honored and humbled to be a candidate for Florida State Representative District 74. It is a pleasure to receive a letter from the Florida Professional Firefighters for the state of Florida. And I am glad that you want to take the time with me so you may understand my points of view concerning pensions, collective bargaining, and deductions, as all three issues are important to debate during this campaign. My campaign is a nonprofit campaign because a lady for the supervisor of elections told me in order to run for Congress, one must have at least $1 million in the bank and name recognition. When I knew I could run as an independent write-in candidate, I knew I could not pass up this opportunity to run for the office of Florida State Representative, as I am not asking for any benefits or money. I am in this race for one reason, for the cause of freedom, as our freedom and liberties are slipping away from our fingers each day, when the progressive social liberal agenda continues to take away everything that we have, including our benefits and our money. I am... Let's hold on one second. Oh, man. I am running as independent write-in candidate. One of the main reasons that I threw my hat in the political arena is because I was watching C-SPAN at 2:30 a.m. and witnessed Congressman Ryan, Romney's vice president running mate, defending his budget plan. Congressman Ryan made a comment that disturbed me to no end. He said, when the progressive social liberals say invest, they mean tax and spend. This is my first time running for any political office because I felt I did not have the educational background to run for office, even though qualifying as a citizen of the United States of America is substantial proof in order to run for any political office. The second reason I'm running is because I am one of the 7 million people who lost their health care. I had a terrible surgery on my left lower leg. I was diagnosed with osteomyelitis, and it took my insurance company 7 days to decide whether or not I needed an MRI. And I will explain my story to all during the campaign. As I feel because of the surgery, I firmly believe I clinched the debate concerning deductibles and premiums with regards to Obamacare. The third reason I'm running is because I'm a semi-retired certified nursing assistant from the state of Florida, and knows what it's like to live on a fixed income. I am representing the fading middle class of District 74. In other words, citizens making $50,000 or less a year because our present government feels our salary is equal to poverty-level income. The professional firefighters for the state of Florida should have a union protect themselves because all of you risk your lives to protect the citizens for the state of Florida. The fourth reason I am running is because the state of Florida cut my wife's pay from $950 a week to $750 a week. We are certified nursing assistants, and both of us barely make ends meet at the end of the month. We take care of a cerebral palsy patient, wheelchair bound. Kathy Dundas is an inspiration to me. I elected her to be my campaign manager. This case is a 24/7-day-a-week case. Also, the state of Florida cut Kathy's food stamps to $35 a week. So the moral of the story is this. The middle class and the disabled are the ones that are being taxed the most, and this has to stop, period. My wife and I do not belong to a union because the certified nursing assistants for the state of Florida do not have a union at all. The point I'm trying to make is this. The nursing assistants and the firefighters are the cornerstone for saving lives, and we spend more time with the patients. If our government is debating whether or not the minimum wage should be $10 an hour, then the firefighters, LPNs, CNAs, RNs should have their pay increased too. No pension or salary should ever be cut because of the government spending problem. I firmly believe that every citizen from the state of Florida has the right to work. But while the government standing in the way of our freedoms and liberties, the state of Florida will never recover from the 6.5% unemployment rate. Also, if Obamacare continues to stagnate our economy, there will be a physician shortage, and we, the health care providers, are the ones that will substitute the physician's shortage. I stand for equal opportunity for all, as an individual has the right to climb the ladder of success without depending on the government.
Amen.
Just remember all the problems out west where the independent fire departments are closing down due to the economy. In other words, if you like your fire department, you may keep your fire department, period. I hope my voice is for running.
You're fuzzy. I can't hear you.
I hope my force stands for run. Will clarify how I feel about the Florida professional firefighters. You all mean a great deal to me as you protect me. If you have any questions with regards to my campaign, you may call me anytime at 941-600-8473. You may visit my website at www.robertsdiamondcapital.com. I am looking forward to meeting with you during my campaign. I am making a solemn promise to the Florida professional firefighters that I, Robert Samuel Kaplan, will abide by the rule of law, follow the Constitution of the United States of America. God bless America, it's America I once growing up in a small town of Venice, Florida.
Thank you. Any comments, gentlemen? Thank you, Robert. Awesome.
Read the Green Book.
Read the, huh?
Read the Green Book.
What's the Green Book?
Oh, it was written by your best friend.
Which one? Frank Weagle?
Nope, a guy that we murdered over in Libya. His name's Gaddafi.
Oh, my God.
The Green Book.
It's called the Green
you
Book.
You call it my best friend?
He should be.
Well, hey, guys, I got to run. I got to practice my guitar.
Thank you.
And then they gotta
Mikey, you've been fabulous.
Did I clinch collective bargaining?
All right, listen, guys. I'll see you hopefully tomorrow night,
Mikey,
8 o'clock.
Thank you so much.
I'll talk a little bit about what happened today. And Ron, still, and we take your time now. But I just sent him a Facebook message that
I'll
bring him on my show July 10th.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And, Mikey, I sent you a link that you can go in and read this Green Book. I think it'll blow your mind off.
Oh, my God.
Did you email it to me or you Skyped it?
I emailed it to you.
I want one too, Ron.
You've already got one.
Thank you, sir.
Did I clinch the collective bargaining thing? Did I nail it?
I think you have.
Because I knew they were going to ask me for money and benefits. You know that. So I nipped it in the bud in a nice way. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's all I need.
Okay.
Now let me read you something, Robert, if I may, Miss Linda.
Okay.
And I think this kind of echoes something I said Monday night, and I didn't know it. This is the first time I've gotten in on this book, and this is just the very first paragraph. The instrument of government is the prime political problem confronting human communities. The problem of the instrument of government entails questions of the following kind. What form should the exercise of authority assume? How ought societies to organize themselves politically in a modern world? Even conflict within the family is often the result of the failure to resolve this problem of authority. It has clearly become more serious with the emergence of modern societies.
Wow.
So basically what he's telling you in the very first paragraphs of this book, that the problem with society is government. And that even though many governments disguise themselves as democracy, they're nothing less than dictatorships.
Yeah.
You don't think anybody could steal that letter away from me after reading it to you, Willie?
Ron, I got to
tell you,
I do believe that George Washington, Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson would agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, even Mr. Glenn Beck agrees that huge centralized government sucks the big green donkey blank. Hello.
I think when we read and we look at, see, we've been indoctrinated to believe certain things.
Oh, my God.
It's come out, and I don't know how true it is because I haven't gone in to research it in depth myself, but it has come out that that actually the Pan Am bombing that Gaddafi was blamed for might not actually have been Gaddafi, and that the witnesses were paid $4 million. To lie.
Well, how many millions of dollars were paid to the Boston bombing crisis actors and the Sandy Hook crisis actors? Let me ask you that question.
When we look at the stories coming out of Libya, and I don't agree necessarily. I might. I don't know. Because it seems so socialistic. And maybe it's just because it's so grandiose that it's not even we're not able to process it. But
I know,
according to what I've read, you know, Gaddafi set up the government in such a way that the proceeds and the money coming into government from oil and other things was spent on the people. It wasn't spent on expanding government. It was spent on securing the citizens, the people that doing what we would presume our government was supposed to be intended for, right? And
oh my God.
So in Libya, you know, Gaddafi had sworn that he would see to it that every person in Libya who wanted a home or housing had housing.
I saw that.
Before his father would have a home.
I know. I saw part of it. But, yeah, I mean, look, Ron, if that's not socialism on steroids, I don't know what it is.
Well, you're right in a sense. It is. However, I would say that it was almost a reverse socialism.
Yeah.
It was. Okay. It's a socialism where the government was not keeping the best for itself. It was actually giving to the people and increasing and raising their standard of living.
So you're talking about the first and only and one and only benevolent dictatorship?
Evidently so. I mean, if stories are to be believed, evidently that's the case. And,
wow.
You know, I think it might be a model study in how
I'm open to many things and I'm not going to just put myself into a what we call a libertarian Plato's cave and only go with one thing. But look, Ron, for Christ's sake, we have tomes upon tomes of libraries upon libraries of fabulously intelligent people who probably have IQs hugely higher than both of us combined together. We've got John Locke, Montesquieu. We've got von Mises, Hayek. I can't remember the other gentleman's name, but, I mean, there's just tons of people. Hayek was written over 80 years ago, and the man sounds like he wrote it a month ago. And he's been dead for how long? Oh, my God.
But you tell me this is incorrect, because I'm just reading. Immediately after winning the electors' votes, the representative takes over the people's sovereignty and acts on their behalf. Is that not the system that we're currently under? The prevailing traditional democracy endows the member of parliament with a sacredness and immunity which are denied to the rest of the people. Parliaments, therefore, have become a means of plundering and usurping the authority of the people.
Wow, no kidding.
It has thus become the right of the people to struggle through popular revolution to destroy such instruments. The so-called parliamentary assemblies, which usurp democracy and sovereignty and which stifle the will of the people, the masses have the right to proclaim reverberantly the new principle, no representation in lieu of the people.
Okay. Go ahead,
Ron.
Yes.
Can I say something? I didn't get a chance to finish about Iraq, and I want to clarify it for Mike. The reason I said what I said is because he was worried about how the troops were going to leave in a timely fashion, and how in the hell they were going to get out.
I understood that.
You understood that. That's how
I absolutely did. That's why I said you're talking about troop withdrawals and not whether or not we should have been over there to begin with. I think it's
pretty
evident that we never should have gone.
No.
But, I mean, broken.
I got plenty of words for Bush and Cheney and the first Bush and whatever. But to talk about what Ron was talking about, look, I mean, there is so much to be said for non-intervention and for property rights and the Declaration of Independence, the real Bill of Rights, which I think should be etched in stone just like the ones on Mount Sinai, because the first 10 anyway, because they are God-given. I'm telling you, if I have to go in front of the city council and stand on a stack of Bibles and scream to my heart's content and say they should be written in stone, and if you guys start messing with me, Molon Labe, I'm coming for you. I'm done. These people do not get this. We can't play this game anymore.
How about this definition of party? The party is a contemporary form of dictatorship. It is the modern instrument of dictatorial government. The party is the rule of a part over the whole. As a part is not an individual or a party, it creates a superficial democracy by establishing assemblies, committees, and propaganda through its members. The party is not a democratic instrument because it is composed only of those people who have common interest, a common perception, or a shared culture, or those who belong to the same region or share the same belief. They form a party to achieve their ends, impose their will, or extend the dominion of their beliefs, values, and interests to the society as a whole. A party's aim is to achieve power under the pretext of carrying out its program. Democratically, none of these parties should govern a whole people who constitute a diversity of interests, ideas, temperaments, regions, and beliefs. The party is a dictatorial instrument of government that enables those with common outlooks or interests to rule the people as a whole.
Wow. That's why I chose to be independent, Ron, because you knew I was a staunch Republican.
Gaddafi's not such a nut after all, is he?
Gaddafi's cool. Really? Look, we've got to go with the foundation, and I will say, you know, there's about a few more tons of things that I've learned about Glenn Beck that I don't agree with, but there are some that I do agree with. And one of the things was when he was on a rant one day and he says, for the love of God, can we at least start with the Constitution, the preamble, and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, and then let's take it one step further and start with the Bible, for God's sakes. Now, I agree with him on those principles because that's what we need to go back to. We're so far afield, Ron, right now. And you know what? Sometimes I think that the polarization from what I saw last night was actually a good thing because people were up there telling what was going on and being admonished by this stupid idiot Uncle Joe that I call him. I'm telling you, you know what? There was like, I swear to God, 9 people out of 10 in that room were against this thing for many various reasons, but I swear, 50% of them were for what I was talking about. I'm talking about liberty, sovereignty, a real country, all this nonsense. I didn't go into the Agenda 21 because they only gave me 1 minute, but my kids behind me, they knew. I mean, we were very fortunate that we got through this. We found out about it. We even found out about it. It's like we're in a country right now that is stealthily becoming the old Soviet. They're trying to hide everything from us, Ron. That's what they're doing.
No, it's unbelievable. And there's no accountability for nothing no more.
It's a rogue government.
Well, we have no mechanism with which to hold accountable our elected official.
No. Well, where the hell is HUAC? Why did they abolish HUAC? Because, you know, the UN baby and socialist pieces of Plato's Republic pieces of garbage got rid of HUAC. That's why. We need to bring back HUAC, I'm telling you. And I'll be the head of it. Screw them all. I'm done.
And I'm done too, man.
I can't believe I'm ready. If I could go down to South Carolina with this guy named Rick Rosato, honey, you should see his militia. And I know you've got an arsenal, baby. I don't even want to talk about on the air. I want Rick Rosato and you guys and my brother in Michigan up there. on my side in my bunker, because we're going to need – we all got to figure out how we're going to get together, because, man, it's not going to be pretty. I don't know. I'm going to Southern – when the time comes, I'm going to Southern Indiana, and I'm digging in with Bill, and there's going to be some reckoning.
The revolution is here. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah, baby. And I know that Ron and you and Penny can't come, and it was posted on Facebook, and we all love it. That and I know that Miss Terry doesn't have the time or the money to do it, and we're going to be with you in spirit. I hope we can Skype you guys, because we're going to party our butts off, and we're going to do some radio shows from there. And I'm going to do a speech with Agenda 21. I'm going to have my Glenn Beck chalkboard. I'm going to pass out constitutions. I'm passing out everything, baby, and I'm speaking. Mm. Like I did last night in front of 400 people. You betcha.
Linda, mail me one of your constitutions.
Oh, I don't have your address, baby. You have my email.
I can't even concentrate anymore. I've been talking all day long. I'm losing my voice.
Okay, honey.
I'll email you my address.
Yes. And I'll send you 5 of them. Give them to your neighbors. Ron, I love you. We're done.
Is there any place that I can get a ton of them, like, really cheap?
God bless, guys.
Thank you, Ron. Right. Thank you so much. God bless. Robert?
Yes, see you, Ron.
He's gone. Okay, Robert, contact your current congressman and you ask him for the free ones. Because my congressman, Issa, I can go to his office and get him by the caseload for free.
Really?
Yes, he's a Republican.
I don't know.
I go there.
I don't think my congressman would do that for me. We don't like each other.
Let me tell you something, Robert. If you have my address and my email. You email your address to me in Sarasota, okay?
And then
I'll tell you what's going on. You send me enough postage, and I'll send you 20 of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll do that. So Linda, let me tell you something. The young people are very smart. They get the concept. They know what's going on. They know. They're intelligent bunch of kids. Do you know how many kids I've met? I was thinking about a run before my surgery, baby.
I know.
In January or February when I was really sick, you know? And I was thinking about a run, but I really didn't know what was going on until I had my surgery.
Right.
It didn't hit me, and it took for me to almost lose my leg to figure everything out.
Oh my God!
So the more of the story is, God's on our side, Linda.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what, Robert? When I opened my show, I read 2 scriptures tonight. And I will never open my show again without reading from Scripture. And I love my country, and I love the idea of America and all the freedom things and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changed the world, let's face it. Okay.
Tell Ron for me the email he sent me that I saved his email about the Lord's Prayer.
Oh my God!
Did you see that one? You saw that one, right?
Right.
Ron's email with the Lord's Prayer. I look at that, but I was so sick, Linda.
I know, honey.
I looked at that Lord's Prayer and it pulled me through. Believe me.
I'm so happy to see you today. I was like, oh my God,
Linda,
my God.
I was in bad shape, Linda. I really almost died.
Let me tell you,
really
everybody is going to pull for you. Everybody on Patriot Families and Higher Truth Radio, we're going to do it. And look, I had